Good morning. Welcome to the Faith Debate on News Radio 930 WFMD. Thank you for spending part of your Sunday habits with us here. And I know some people, it is a habit. I hear people say, oh, I listen to you every Sunday as I'm doing this or doing that. So I appreciate that. And hopefully last week we didn't alienate you too much with what we had to say, as we popped a lot of religious bubbles, I think. We were talking about all the fake theology that surrounded the Trump assassination attempt. Let's hope it was only an attempt as this airs. Because as this airs, the election hasn't happened yet, and who knows what could happen between then and now. It's like a time capsule episode. I'm Troy Skinner. You're listening to The Faith Debate on News Radio 930 WFMD. You can find us online at WFMD.com. Also, at my church's website, householdoffaithinchrist.com. Joined this week again by Elijah Dirksen. He's a seminary student and has a long, loving history with the family that's represented as a figurehead, the head of the family, Imran Razvi. Imran's the pastor of the church that meets at Imran's house, and also is the founder of Conquered by Love Ministries, online at conqueredbylove.org. So as we are giving voice to these words on today's program, the Olympics are underway, and some things have happened rather noteworthy that won't be forgotten by some people for a long, long time. By the vast majority of the population, they were forgotten about 5 minutes after they happened. I understand that. I don't want to beat to death the whole opening ceremony thing with the Last Supper and Dionysius and all that sort of stuff, but I think we need to talk about it to put a good biblical lens on it, and there are other things related to the Olympics as well. First off, are we watching? As the Olympics was happening, were you watching the Olympics, Elijah?
I wasn't watching the opening ceremonies. I was watching a little bit later on, but that was before I actually figured out what was going on. It just makes your stomach sick. Yeah. It really disheartens you.
Yeah, I have not watched a single second of the Olympics in quite a number of years now, so I can't remember the last time I watched an actual live, well, none of them are live these days, but actual broadcast as it was happening, kind of, you know, broadcast thing. I can't remember the last time. And I made my living in sports radio for quite a number of years. So I was a sports guy, a sports junkie, unfortunately, in too many ways. And I lived and breathed this stuff. So I've jettisoned. I haven't watched an NFL game in over 2 years. I haven't watched a Major League Baseball game in probably 3 years. Can't remember the last time I watched an NBA game. I mean, it became a league of thugs, and I just was...
So how are you filling this void in your life with all this sports that you're missing now?
It's amazing. I've been able to read more, spend more time with family, do more Faith Debate shows. it's amazing. But did you happen to see it when it was happening, Imran?
No,
the opening ceremony?
Saw clips of it. Again, I'm like you. I don't even have a TV in the house. So we'll put the computer up and watch a video as a family for certain things. And, you know, we watch usually Maryland Terrapins football and basketball. That's what we went to. And, we got our kids involved in that. But we don't watch any professional sports. And Olympics, we used to watch a lot. We used to be glued to the TV watching Olympics. But we really haven't for the last several cycles. And this time it just was disgusting. I mean, I heard it. I posted it on social media. I heard it on the news, on the radio. And I was like, wow, what in the world is going on? And I was almost afraid to look. I didn't want to actually see what these people are saying. You can't unsee this.
Yeah. What was your initial reaction, and has it changed, Elijah?
My reaction to all this is the world taking their victory lap over Christianity. This is them saying, we have you guys conquered. You don't have any power here. We can do anything to you we want.
That's an interesting take. I don't know if I accept the premise of that take.
Well, I don't accept the premise. I'm looking at it from the point of view of the Olympics, the world, the world system.
Yeah, now, there are people who are listening to what we've said so far and are already crawling out of their skin because, you Christians are taking it out of context. Okay, listen. This is my understanding. These are just facts, okay? This isn't me trying to put a Christian take on it or a secular pagan take on it or anything like that. This is just, these are the facts of the situation. Based on what has been, unless it's been expunged from the social media records and stuff, the French officials, the Olympic officials, you know, they're all on record on these points I'm about to bring up. It's really unassailable unless they're changing the facts, which in a George Orwell 1984 world is certainly within the realm of possibility. But well, the facts...
Oh, they changed the facts on Kamala Harris and how great she is.
Yeah.
She wanted to get rid of her before, so...
Yeah, well, that's a teaser of next week's main topic, by the way. So, these are the facts. The organizers did intend to make a connection with that now very popularized image of debauchery to mimic and draw attention to a connection with the Last Supper. They weren't merely doing that. They were also making a connection from that Last Supper imagery to imagery about the whole Greek god and goddess pantheon, Dionysius particularly, and all of that sort of stuff. But even that is part of the mockery, if this is where Elijah would go anyway, because they're saying, look, Christ is no different than these other gods. He's basically just as debauched as they are. One god's the same as another god. And in fact, the fact that the Lord's Supper imagery then morphed into this other thing, it's as though the one was superseded by the second thing. Well, the blue man superseded the Last Supper imagery, and so that's to put Christ underneath the blue Greek god of fertility or whatever the heck that was supposed to represent. So that's all part of what's going on. And let me just finish one last factual thing. The other thing that a lot of these countries do when they host the Olympics, the opening ceremonies, it gives them an opportunity to talk about their culture, their history, what's important to them, the touchstones of who they are as a people. And so this is the French telling us who they are. And so that's why you've got a decapitated woman talking in part of the opening ceremonies. That's why you've got all this debauchery. This, you know, my father-in-law, he said, I can't believe they did this. France, they're a Christian nation. Well, first of all, that's a debate about what a Christian nation is or isn't. Can there even be one? But if they ever were, they're certainly not now. Mm-hmm. And the French are going out of the way to tell you so in the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. That's part of the narrative. Hey, look, we're enlightened now. We're all inclusive. We let all this debauchery stuff, not only let it come in, but we celebrate it. We throw a party for it. We make it, it's bigger than Jesus Christ. It's bigger than the Last Supper. Those are the facts of the reality. Now, what's our reaction as three Christian men to all of that?
We need to do better. We need to show them that they need to respect Christianity.
Now, how do
they don't?
But how do we do that? How do you make somebody respect you or show them that we're going to be respected, gosh darn it? How do we do that?
We need to actually have opinions in culture again. A lot of times we've had the members of...
Have you listened to the Faith Debate Show?
Churches everywhere, they pull out of society, they pull out of culture because, oh, it's a lost cause. It's all going to go bad. It's never going to be good. You see so many pastors, even people that I respect a lot, like John MacArthur, say, we lose down here. We're never going to win. We're only going to lose.
Now, in fairness, first of all, that clip is like decades old, and you got to be careful because that's like proof texting out of the Bible. If you take him in his fuller context, even within that moment, but certainly the broader context of his ministry career, I don't think that that's what defines MacArthur's take. I will say, though, that it is an Achilles heel for the dispensational theology that dominates the American church landscape.
Because you aim at what you hit what you aim at. And if you're aiming at just getting out of here without having to fundamentally change society before that happens, and in fact, you get a benefit if society gets worse. I know a lot of dispensationalists will say, well, we still need to do the work, but it gets better for them if things get worse.
That's not automatically going to make it a game change, though, right? I mean, Jeremiah spoke it boldly about the truth, and things didn't change for the better, right?
But it takes a really strong will that I don't know if a lot of the church has to go against what you think is best for you.
But what's the platform? See, what is the church's platform? The church's platform is the churches and the meeting and there, because they're not involved in entertainment. The problem is we are so rich and fat that we are like Rome in that we are just inundated with entertainment. And look at these people that are getting $50 million, $100 million, $500 million, $700 million contracts to play a sport to entertain us. Okay? Yeah, it was, I think, $720 million was a record deal for some baseball player just recently to play baseball. Does he deserve it? Sure he deserves it. He's better than everybody else, and somebody's willing to pay it. And that's all. That's how it should be. That's how capitalism is, and you demand what you're worth. But Christians are not
in that arena. They're not in the entertainment arena. They're taking care of their families. They're taking care of their fellow man, you know, helping people around. They're not out there trying to entertain. And if we have left that arena, and there are a few Christians or supposed Christians in Hollywood, there are a few people who stand up, and many of them get canceled, don't get the movie roles, don't get TV roles, and get harassed and harassed and harassed to get them out of there. But it is, the Hollywood is dominated by genetic Jews. There's a lot of genetic Jews, I'm saying, because they're not practicing Jews. There's a lot of Jews in entertainment. And they've really lost their connection with God and spirituality, and they're doing this garbage out there. So I think that's one of the problems. That's dominating the airwaves of everyone in this country around the world. That's what they're seeing. And so in, you know, my family is Muslim from Pakistan, and that's what they see. They see this, and they see this as a Christian country. And like Elijah said, you know, this, France was a Christian country. Or you said it. I don't remember who.
My not to call him out, but my father-in-law was shocked. He's like, I can't believe France did this. French. I mean, the French people, that's a Christian nation. Right. I was like, Dad.
But then
they haven't been a Christian nation, if you want to argue that there even is one, that, since the French Revolution.
Right.
That's a couple of weeks ago.
But your dad sees this, but think about it from the Muslim world, or from the Hindu world, or from the Buddhist world. They still see this as a Christian nation, and they see this is what they're doing. And now that's a recruiting tool for them away from Christianity.
Well, absolutely. People like, I think it's Andrew Tate, became a Muslim because he looked at Christianity, he looked how weak it was, and he thought, I want strength. I'm going to go to the religion that has principles.
Yeah, and I want to address the Andrew Tate thing. I had a note to do that, and Elon Musk similarly. But before I get into that, just to put a cinch on what the brute facts are, there's nothing new under the sun. And all we have going on here with this Olympics opening ceremony is a dog returning to its vomit. Mm-hmm. The Olympics started out as debased entertainment. You know, this the Greek wrestling of the time that was featured in the Olympics was nude guys grappling with each other in their nether regions. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're racing across the field in the buff. Like, that's not, you know, decorum. That's not modesty. This stuff was just debased and debauched from the beginning, and they're just returning back to their roots. Now, it was sanitized somewhat over the last, you know, 100 or so years, and the era that we grew up watching it on TV, you know, the Olympics in the 60s, the 70s, and 80s, it was wholesome. It was good family entertainment. And you said earlier, and I don't know if I said it, but I was going to say that until recently, I would have never missed a moment of the Olympics. Yeah. You know, I was hanging on. That's why the 1980 hockey team's win was such a big deal, because the Olympics were front and center in my life and in so many people's lives. But that's not what it was once upon a time, and that's not what it is now.
And the Olympic costumes are getting skimpier and skimpier.
That's something I wanted to mention, actually, is have you seen what these gymnasts and swimmers, like the synchronized swimming ladies, it's like pornography. Like nothing left to the imagination in some instances. They might as well be nude. It's like stuff that, unless it's your wife, you shouldn't see.
Right.
And it's on. Oh, that was in the opening ceremony too, by the way. Did you pick up on that? There was one guy had his junk hanging out.
Oh, was that the blue guy?
No. One of the probably the guy that was supposed to be like, you know, the Apostle John or something. I don't know. One of the people on the main stage. Mm. He's wearing black. And now I'm going to draw people's attention. They're going to do it. But if you pay attention, it caught my eye.
I'm definitely going to resist.
Like, what is it I'm looking at? And I was like, it can't be. And so I zoomed in. And sure enough, he's got his junk hanging out. On international television.
But you also remember that after the opening ceremonies, there was literally tens of thousands of French people in the streets singing hymns, singing Christian, you know, modern songs as well, and protesting. So there were a lot of Christians, and that comes to my point. It's just they're not involved in the entertainment side. You know,
there
are plenty of silent Christians out there, and many of them are not what we would call real Christians, real solid, you know, saved, dying for Jesus Christians, but they still have some Christianity in there, so they were offended enough to come out and sing and do that.
Yeah, Christianity used to drive society. We had a country that was based on Christian principles, that no matter how many people decide, oh, that's a horrible thing, it's true. You look at the common law that our country was founded with, they're pulled straight from the Bible. So cultural Christianity is something that we used to have. Now it's reversed. Now we have society and worldly culture infiltrating the churches.
Yeah, culture is changing the definitions in the Webster Dictionary. When Webster Dictionary was based on the Bible, and now the definitions are changing as we speak. As something happens in culture, they change the definitions.
Now, you mentioned Andrew Tate, who is just a gross individual, as far as I'm concerned, and an Elon Musk, who is an anti-hero. Some people want to hold him as this great hero. I think he's a hero by accident, for the most part, because his worldview does not match a biblical worldview, so he's an anti-hero. I think that we run a really grave risk as followers of Christ if we start pointing to Muslims like Andrew Tate, like gross Muslims like Andrew Tate, and anti-hero, self-professing, well, maybe I might possibly be a cultural Christian, Elon Musk. We point to that because Elon Musk publicly said that, you know, Christianity's problem basically is toothless. It needs to be, get some teeth in Christianity again. I think we got to be careful because they don't have a Christian worldview.
Well, absolutely.
And I'm not so sure that those sentiments of we got to get tougher and we got to put teeth in our bite and stuff like that is necessarily a Christian worldview.
Not necessarily tougher. He was saying unless there's more bravery to stand up for what's fair and right, Christianity will perish. And honestly, I think I do agree with that sentiment. Bravery doesn't need to be violent. It doesn't need to be attacking someone else. Probably the bravest people in history were the apostles, getting slaughtered for their faith. So, I don't see any higher standard of bravery.
So in today's context, what would that bravery look like?
Not being afraid of getting canceled.
Okay.
Actually speaking up and...
So you and I are doing that right now. Imran's doing that right now. Mm-hmm. So we are the church. We're being brave.
Hopefully.
So, right? I'm not... I just don't... I think that we wag our finger of accusation saying the church needs to... You know, in my theological circles, there's a distinction drawn between the visible church and the invisible church. You know, the visible church, the institutional church, those that we see with our eyes, those that human eyes can see, the visible church. But not everybody or everything that comprises the visible church is actually the church. Not all Israel is Israel. So there's the church that God sees. And so that's the invisible church, meaning it's not invisible to God, but it's invisible to us. And so some people in the church... shouldn't be in the church. Mm-hmm. And some people that aren't in the church yet, God sees them as his elect, and they're being drawn. They're going to be in the church tomorrow. They're not there today, but God knows they're his. That kind of, whatever, there's this distinction. I would argue that those that are the church are being brave, are standing up for what's right, are living their lives righteously as consistently as they possibly can. And those that are weak in the knees, like the David Frenches of the world, you know, that... I think at this point we have to suspect that they just have a false profession of faith.
They do, and also Christians that are actually going to church should hold their pastors accountable and the church leadership accountable, because that's really where the money is, right? So like that church down wherever it was, they started doing those videos, those movies that actually were uplifting and had Christ-centered meetings. I don't know, they haven't done any in a while, have they?
Yeah, you're talking about the Kendrick brothers, Alex and...
So I don't know what happened to them.
I think they're still doing movies. They're not as high profile.
Sherwood Pictures
before.
Maybe, I think, was
the
name.
Right. So they started doing that again. They gathered enough money from the church, from all the people, and they actually decided to try to fight back against culture. That can happen. You know, you as an individual, me as an individual, Elijah as an individual, we just don't have the funds to fight against this juggernaut of a, you know, entertainment and cycle with all this money that's involved. We can't do that. We can't buy, $20 million TV spot on Super Bowl Sunday. But, you know, obviously the devil can. They got all this money in the world.
Yeah, and trust me, I get it. You know, I try to take the whole counsel of God into account. And so we are to be salt and light. And so we are to be salt, preserve what is good, to give flavor to the world, to the light casts out all darkness. And so we're to expose the best disinfectant is sunlight kind of thing. Like, all of that is true. But our primary mission isn't to win the culture war, right? Our primary mission is to preach the gospel and then make disciples.
Yeah. But if we do that, culture is naturally going to be affected by it, right?
Right. So I'm concerned that we got the tail wagging the dog. I think that's my pushback.
For sure.
By the way, on the thing. It's like, you know, we've got to preach the gospel and then hold accountable those that are Christians.
We should evangelize, but that evangelism should have an effect on the culture. If I become a Christian, I'm going to live like a Christian. I'm not going to separate my Christianity from my world, from my society.
We talked a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, about that great big thing that they did on the Super Bowl Sunday with he's one of us and
right that, he gets us
he gets us. That campaign was supposedly started by people like from Hobby Lobby and other Christians, but it was such garbage.
Mm-hmm.
It had nothing. It had baseless completely. I mean, if you're gonna do it, if you're gonna spend your money, you gotta at least have Christians that are that have strong faith and understand the Bible to do that. And they didn't. They're so trying to appease everyone that they appease no one.
If he gets us, we're a food group, it would be a cancer-causing, sugary-laden, garbage treat, right? I mean, that's what it is. Yeah.
So that was another attempt, like the Kendrick Brothers, to go after culture, but that was such badly done. And then we have the Jesus movie. We have several, again, they're led by Mormons or Seventh-day Adventists. And that's one of the things that Daniel, my son, often talks about, is a lot of these so-called conservative movements are led by non-Christians. Blaze TV is run by Mormon, right? This is Trump's Freedom Network, whatever. It's by Trump, who's not really a professing Christian. He says, "Oh, by God's grace, I'm here," but he hasn't repented. He hasn't led in prayer. He hasn't. And again, one of my big litmus tests for that is, does he value life like God values life? And he does not. He has completely gone away from pro-life to pro-choice.
In the last handful of minutes we'll have on this episode to talk about the other big theologically charged story from the Olympics, at least as we are recording this episode, who knows? The Olympics aren't quite over yet as we record this, so something more could happen. But the two boxers from countries, one's Algeria, I think, and the other one, I forget where they're from, but biologically male, apparently, fighting against women in the boxing ring. We have time for some quick takes on them.
They don't even look like they've transitioned. I mean, he looks like a man. He has no chest, and his jawline, his face, and everything that's stubble. He looks like a man. He doesn't look. And they're saying he's from Algeria, and Algeria doesn't allow transitions. And he was actually born with XY chromosome, but with the female genitalia, and so he's actually a female. He's always been a female his life. But he failed the genetic test, and he has the bone structure of a man.
Yeah, so I think, to be accurate, I think he's intersex rather than transgender. I think a lot of people have been pointing that out, and I don't want to...
Again, I don't know the truth, because these days you don't know what the truth is.
You can't know the truth.
It is difficult to tell.
But it does seem like there was a commission...
He had too much testosterone.
But it's more than that. Apparently, down to the genetic level,
right,
has X and Y chromosomes.
And the bone structure, the muscle structure is all of a man. They tested that. It's all man. And it's a man. So there's women that are fighting a man.
What we know for certain is it's not a woman.
And that's a side point there. That's what gets me so disgusted about today's movies and stuff. All these women, these short little 5-foot-nothing women, are beating up these giant 6-foot-5 men that are bodyguards. And that, again, that's
so unrealistic.
It's unrealistic. And that's why these new Marvel things are not showing. The new Marvel movie that just came out, it's been a hit. Why? Because the two main characters are men. So I don't know why they don't get that, but they're trying to change the culture. It's so stupid, it gets me. Anyways, that was a sidebar.
This whole transgender issue is, the reason why we have that is because we've abandoned biblical principles. Biblical principles bring logic and order. When we abandon those, kick those out, say those are wrong, then we end up with madness. And that's what we have.
And I just want to say, any man or someone that has a lot of man, male, masculine things going on in their DNA and their body chemistry and what have you, the fact that they would desire to get into a ring and start just pummeling a woman says something about the psychology of that individual to me, right? I mean, that's the psychology of a wife beater, right? That's the psychology of an abuser. Like, who wants to do that? Now, we don't talk about this that often. But
how did he not withdraw after he sees his opponent in tears, breaking down?
Well, there are, I don't know what the percentages are. It's less than 1% or whatever of these odd medical abnormalities. We're in a fallen world, and bad things happen in the fallen world. So you have these confused situations. And so this individual might fit in that situation, but knowing that he's got this enormous physical advantage, he wants to go pummel women in the face. I don't understand.
The sad fact is the IOC allows it, and they feel it's more important to be fair to this person than to fair to the women's sports and the women that are actually women. You know what? If he doesn't, if he's not allowed to box, or he, she, whatever you want to call him, is not allowed to box, it's not the end of the world. And it's okay. We don't get to do everything you want to be. I want to be on a jet that I own. I can't do that.
Well, and that's the voice of Imran Rasby. Before that was Elijah Dirksen. I'm Troy Skinner. And you know we're right, because there was a big blackout that happened in the Olympics, and that just proves that God's on our side, right? So that's just the way that goes. Anyway, this is the Faith of Eight on News Radio 930 WFMD. Find us online at WFMD.com and at householdoffaithinchrist.com. Till next week, 167 and a half hours for right now. God bless.